Welcome everyone to New Life Virtual Church. Soon we will have the opportunity to meet in person at New Life Church, but more about that in a moment. First, we are Danny and Carly, and we have been attending New Life Church since forever. A special welcome to you if you are just getting to know us through these virtual services. New Life is a place where you can take your next steps into living a changed life, connecting into a diverse community, and having a radical impact. We welcome hearing from you either in person or by connecting with us online through our website, Facebook, or Instagram.
We begin our worship with words from Scripture that describes our gathering together with a building image. We read from 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 8. It says, "Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look and threw it out. God set it in the place of honor. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests offering Christ-approved lives up to God." Let's join Pastor Nathan now as we take part of the baptism of Ari Campman, son of Travis and Jamie Lynn. It took place here at the church on October 7th. We join them as New Life community to hear the promises of God and to commit ourselves again to be the family of God, drawn together through Jesus Christ.
So today we're celebrating God's gift of children, and especially God's gift of grace. And so as God extends his grace to us to include us in his covenant family, we're called to respond to that grace. And so, Travis and Jamie Lynn, at this baptism, you're called to respond to God's grace, to his promises, to always love your son, to always be faithful to your son, to always embrace your son, to always forgive your son. And so you're called to respond to those promises today. And so we ask you these promises. Do you love and trust Jesus as the Savior and the Master of your life? And do you promise to instruct this child in the truth of God's Word and in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, by words and by example? And will you pray for your child and teach him to pray? And will you raise him in a church community that represents the body of Christ in this world so that he can grow up to learn to be a citizen of God's kingdom? Travis and Jamie Lynn, what's your answer?
We do. God helping us.
Awesome. So you are witnessing this baptism, but you also witness the grace of God extended not only to this little one, but also to all of us. And so, responding with, "We do, God helping us," I ask you, as you witness this baptism, do you promise to be that community of Christ that loves and prays for this little one and a community that nurtures faith in Jesus for him? What is your answer?
We do.
Awesome. All right. So, Travis and Jamie Lynn have named their son Ari John. Ari, of course, is named after Jamie Lynn's dad, whose given name is Arend, and Ari is shortened for that, Dutch origin name, and it means eagle, which is really cool. I mean, that's a really masculine kind of thing to say. His second name, named after your second name as well, John, a campman name, is a Hebrew name, or it has Hebrew origins, and it simply means God is gracious. Wonderful name. And so, for Ari, I have chosen this verse, and hopefully you can pass it along to him as he grows up. It's from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." May that be encouragement and strength as little Ari journeys through life. So, at this time, we will baptize. All right. Ari John Campman, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's join together in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Thank you that you pour your grace upon our lives and draw us to yourself. And so, God, we pray that you will help us to hold on to your promises. We pray that you will bless Travis and Jamie Lynn with a faith that holds on to your promises, that ceases your mercy every day, and that gives them wisdom to raise their little ones, to love you and to honor you in all that they do. And so we pray, Father, that you will bless them as a family, that you will keep them safe, that you will encourage them, that you will give them much joy together as they raise their family. And we pray, God, that as a community, we will surround them, and that by your Spirit's power, we will also encourage one another, build each other in faith, to love and serve you with trust, love, and obedience. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
So amazing that we can be witnesses of this baptism and that by God's grace, we really are joined together as his family.
Our announcements today that on Sunday, November 1st, we are starting to meet together in the New Life Auditorium. You will be able to register to attend the services, which will begin at 10 a.m. We plan to accommodate two groups of 50 persons each in the auditorium. To make this a safe and sustainable development, we'll start with gathering to view the virtual service and then add a live element on a weekly basis. Details on what guidelines you will have to follow and how to register will be in the Encourager newsletter, on our website, and on our social platforms. Stay tuned because we are super excited about this.
The offering this week is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to those in need to help families with Christian school tuition. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join us in prayer.
Dear Lord, I pray for the people who are receiving this offering. I pray they are blessed by it. Be with the deacons who are distributing the money. May they have the wisdom in that decision. I pray for open hearts as we hear God's word today. I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids start a new series. This month's series is called The Fab Five. They'll get to learn about the five Old Testament prophets in true comic book style while discovering what it means to be faithful to the one and only God.
If you want you and your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lessons that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video to set up your kids, and when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Well, thanks, Carly and Danny, and so glad to be with you again. Welcome to another virtual service here at New Life Church. As you may have noticed already, things are out of their usual pattern in terms of our order of service here today. And you're perhaps thinking or saying, hey, it's not Nathan's turn yet, he can't be up. But we've switched things around because, in part, we're starting a new series today called Digital Christians, and we're addressing the whole topic of what it means to live in the context of a digital era with surrounded by computers and smartphones and social media and the like. Dealing with all of that technology, we want to address that under several themes that follow our vision statement, actually. So our vision statement here at New Life is that we want to be an agent for a changed life, a diverse community, and a radical impact. And so we follow the values of worship, community, and serving, those three values. And we want to take a look at those values in the context of a digital age. So we're beginning today with the whole topic of worship, especially the worship service. And so I have with me today Janessa Gritter and our worship pastor. And we, in discussing this, thought, you know what? It'd be a great idea to have a kind of dialogue sermon. And so that's what we're going to do today. So welcome, and we're glad that we're going to be able to do this together. And hopefully we can continue a conversation that you can continue as well in your own homes and among your friends in terms of what did you think? What do you think about this? How should we handle this? And we want to take a look at Psalm 100 to help focus our attention on what it means to be in a worship service and what are some of the principles behind that. We want to certainly avoid simply making rules of this is how you do it, this is how you do it the right way, here's what the wrong way is, and to simply say, what's the reasons why we do some of the things we do, and what are we aiming for? And hopefully that can be more helpful rather than a rigid structure of, hey, it's supposed to be this way, and then not be able to make it fit. Because we're constantly dealing with change. Change is something that's always happening, of course, and particularly in this COVID pandemic, it seems that change has speeded up, certainly in terms of, well, our virtual services. All of the technology existed before, and suddenly we find ourselves having to deal with it in the context of worship gatherings. So we wanted to talk about that today. And Psalm 100, I think, speaks to that. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Yeah, so like Nathan talked about already, it's a different format that we're trying to do this particular worship service in. So rather than having worship and then sermon, because the topic is so integrated into worship, we thought that it'd be nice to talk about each point and then have a response song, a song that we think applies and into that principle. And we want to sing it together and then talk about the next point and sing a song, kind of like that format. And we think that this is a little bit out of the ordinary, making us feel a little uncomfortable, but that's kind of what you want in worship, right? And also, like kind of Nathan said, right away we're thinking about how we can, when we think about the title of Digital Christians or Digital Worship, we're trying to think about if we smush a digital technology and worship together, what's the correct thing, what's the correct output that we're going to get. And in actuality, there's not one correct pattern. There's not one correct habit. There's not one correct way to go to church in a digital world. So we want to be careful of just telling you exactly what to do, but instead maybe applying the principles that we see in Psalm 100 to our habits of digital technology and how we can begin to alter that and begin to change our habits, or maybe even just think about the habits that we currently have and how to change them a bit.
Yeah. So the first principle that we're going to take a look at is worshiping prayerfully. And listen again to verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. And then this. Come before him with joyful songs. I want us to notice especially two things with those verses. The first, that the invitation goes to all the earth, recognizing that we've been made for worship. And not just we as human beings, but all creation evidently has been made for worship. I think that's a spectacular thing. And as Jesus says later on in the New Testament, if you don't worship God, if you don't give praise, the very stones on the beach will give praise to God. That shapes our worship, I think. But the second thing I want us to notice is that the psalm invites us to come before God. And I suspect a lot of times we think mostly of worship in terms of going to church to worship. But it's really about God inviting us into his presence. And that ought to catch our attention so that worship, the principle of worship that we want to focus on, especially in the context of how do we handle this digital stuff, is an attentive presence, is the importance of saying, okay, I am in church, wherever we might be. I mean, you might be sitting on your couch or whatever, but to say, yeah, I'm in the presence of God. I am before the presence of God. And if I don't give praise to God, everything else is going to, and I don't want to miss out on that. And so there's this invitation into worship that presupposes that we've prepared ourselves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that especially in a digital age, it's almost the opposite. Like worship, a prayerful attention requires us to be focused on one thing, which is God. And it and in a digital world, I mean, I'm probably not the only one that is to blame for this, but I often have like three windows open on my computer, and then I'll have my phone in front of me like playing music, and another one's on Netflix, and another one's on Instagram, and we're just so scrambled and like pulled apart by digital technology that we're not really focusing on it to do its purpose, right? And in the same way, worship should be focused. It should be free of distractions. We're focusing on God, and we want to be all there and not scattered in worship.
Yeah, and I think part of the novelty of all of this, like, I mean, in terms of virtual worship services, there's a novelty to it too, right? I mean, I know in the beginning, a lot of people were joking about, oh, wow, I can go to church in my PJs and stuff like that, right? And so there is that perhaps temptation, although it's not necessarily a bad thing, but to do a whole pile of things at once. And now we can even go to church and do a pile of things all at once, right? I mean, I could clean up my kitchen from last night's cooking fiesta and go to church all at the same time, right? I just crank up the TV a little louder and I can hear it, and right? And perhaps the principle that Psalm 100 introduces to us is to say, wait a minute, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And to place ourselves, no matter how unusual the circumstances are, to place ourselves in that kind of attentive presence.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely find that when I was watching my previous church's worship services, I would often just talk over it, or my dad was preaching online and I'd be like, oh, that's a really good point, Dad. And we start talking about it and kind of like not pay attention.
Yeah.
And you do need focus and you do need purpose to the worship that you're doing and practicing. So with that, with talking about prayerful presence, coming into the presence of God and being very focused on him, we're going to sing a song now called Holy Spirit. And I know maybe you're doing some of the things that Nathan mentioned. Maybe you're trying to do three things at once. And so maybe even before we sing Holy Spirit together, you just want to take 2 minutes to just center your heart back on God, to just say, okay, I'm here. I haven't come here. And take time to prayerfully be in his presence before we sing together. Let's do that now.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. Thank you.
All right. Well, the second principle then that we glean from Psalm 100 in the context of a digital era is that God is in control. So listen again to verse 3 of Psalm 100. It reads, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." I want us to notice two things. And the first is this invitation to know God is at one and the same time both a gift and a command. A gift in the sense that God invites us to know Him. And, I mean, we're talking about the God of the universe, right? I mean, this is the God who owes no one anything and who is above everything and is bigger than everything. And yet, He bothers to reveal Himself, everything about Himself, to us. That's a gift. And I think we need to remember that in worship, too, that when we come to worship, it's not just a matter of, hey, give me what I want or what makes me feel good, but a matter of saying, wow, I'm being given a gift to know God in this worship service even more than I already do, perhaps. So that on the one hand. But on the other hand, the fact that God bothers to reveal Himself turns that invitation also almost into a command of saying, know God. Because He's bothered to reveal Himself, so make sure that you take the opportunity to know Him in a, almost a command sort of way. That's remarkable, I think. And I think that shapes our attitude towards worship. But in the second place, I want you to notice as well that this verse 3 talks about whose we are, in the context of sheep. And so we think of this as, oh, just a wonderful image. You know, it feels so cozy and warm to belong to God and to be His sheep, nice, cuddly, and so on. But I think there's also a sleight of hand here where the psalmist is suggesting that if we're sheep, sheep are not the brightest animals at all. And they are completely dependent. They need someone to feed them. They need someone to protect them. And they need someone to guide them. Sheep are completely dependent. And so there's that sense, too, of reminding us that when we come to worship, it's not equals coming to equals and to, you know, give each other compliments. It's a matter of us submitting to God. And that sense of worship, I think, well, certainly needs to be there in everything, especially in the context of digital media.
Yeah, this idea of control, I think we were talking about the definition of technology and how it's not just our computers and cell phones and cameras and all that stuff. It is anything that we can use to do another thing, like a shovel, for instance.
A simple lever or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And because we've created all of these things and because we have this God complex that we think, because we control so many things, because we can use our power to do something else, that we think that we're in control all the time. And we think that we know better. Mm-hmm. And especially in a digital age, where we can control what apps we see, we can control what shows we watch, we can control what music that we listen to. And this false sense of control that dominates our digital technology. And in actuality, it's not. And worship does this beautiful thing and wonderful thing of saying, hey, once again, you are not in control. I am not in control, but God is in control. And this idea of realigning our values and realigning our thought processes is really important.
Yeah, worship in that sense is a complete reorientation of our lives, right? I mean, there's a tension there because, I mean, we live our lives called, in fact, to take control of things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God says, take dominion over the earth and, you know, subdue it and multiply and, right? So grab the stuff that I've created and take control over it.
Yeah.
So that on the one hand, the problem, of course, is, as you say, we have this God complex. And so pride takes over, arrogance, that the need for control, right? And so we start thinking we can manage absolutely everything when, in fact, we can't, right? And so I think that attitude of worship that's required is a sense of humility and surrender to God. yet again, right? Yeah. I mean,
and this prideful thinking gets us into this subjective, my way is the best way.
Yeah.
I want to worship the way I want to worship. For instance, especially in online worship, like if you don't like the worship set, you can just fast forward all the way through it if you want, or vice versa. You can just listen to the worship set and also to the sermon. Or if you don't like the songs that we sing, you can go to another church. And it's such a subjective thing that we've kind of created in our online community of I get to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And worship shouldn't be like that. It should be about surrendering. It should be about obedience. It should be about humbleness.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got a song to kind of incorporate that and reaffirm that kind of principle. What's the song?
Yeah, it's called Surrender. And we were talking about this idea of surrender and how I think often, I don't know what position you're in right now, but I think you'd probably be sitting, and about how surrender is not just simply about just saying you surrender, but physically making that a position of surrender. So what I'd like you to do, if you feel comfortable, is to take a position of surrender, whether that means standing up and putting your arms out, whether that means kneeling on the ground.
Which you can do at home, because nobody else is, you know, staring at you going, what do you think you are?
Exactly,
right?
Yeah, and just reaffirming and saying once again, I'm not in control, but God is in control. So let's do that now.
Giving you my heart, all that is within, lay it all down for the sake of you. Thank you.
All right. Well, the third principle then that Psalm 100 invites us into in the context of worship is active engagement. Listen one more time, this time to verse 4 of Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Lots of action words there. And that's what the psalm intends for us to move into then, into the presence of God. We've already established that we need to enter into worship in that kind of humble stance, but that doesn't mean that we cannot be active. In fact, it demands that we have that kind of active engagement in worship. And so, in the words of the late Robert Weber, he wrote a lot about worship, a scholar on worship and so on, wrote a book called Worship is a Verb. And I think that's essentially what this psalm is getting at here in verse 4, is to say, yes, when you worship, engage, not just in a matter of engaging in the service itself, but when you worship, engage with God as you live your life, right?
Yeah, it often seems like nowadays that worship is more of a noun. It's you write in here. It requires engagement, involvement, and participation. And worship nowadays, because it's so subjective, you can just choose and pick what you want. It's not really an active engagement. And because it's a 2D kind of screen that you can watch something and then you can immediately get up and kind of not really even think about it. In the same way, we can watch our 1 hour of worship service each week and then kind of wash our hands and go, great, Kate, we're done. I've done my Christian due diligence for the week. And in actuality, it is, you can't just be a 1 day a week Christian. It requires all 7 days that you are thinking about how you interact with your neighbor. You're thinking about how you interact with people who are less fortunate. You are understanding your place in the world and how you have to interact with people.
Yeah. Well, and that reminds me, in fact, of I'm aware of at least two places in Scripture where God dismisses, in fact, the worship of his people. The first is in Isaiah chapter 1, and the second is in Amos chapter 5, where in rather harsh terms, actually, God says, you know what? Your worship of me means nothing to me. And it's because, I mean, the indictment is because the people aren't actively engaging the rest of their lives that reflects that worship to God. In other words, they're not imitating God's character. They're not seeking his righteousness. They're not seeking to be compassionate to their neighbors. They're not seeking justice. And so God says, you know what? In that case, your worship means nothing to me.
Yeah. Right?
And that's certainly, I think, the piece that this psalm is inviting us into, is to say, enter, give praise, be active in your worship, because it shapes the rest of your life, in fact.
Yeah, I love those passages, especially as a worship pastor. I've reflected on them so many times.
Oh, okay, yes.
I love that analogy. The analogy that I use is having a vertical relationship with God. Like we talked about in the previous point, it's really important to realign, reorientate yourself to understand your relationship with God. But it is equally as important to grow your horizontal relationship with others, with people who are less fortunate, with people who need it. And both are needed together to create a strong Christian foundation. We, I dare say, probably aren't Christians if we have 1 day a week that we watch a Christian worship service, and then the other 6 days of the week not really doing anything. It's very important that we actively engage both in the worship service and outside the worship service in our regular lives.
And in this digital era of computers and electronic equipment and so on, it is so easy to just fall into that, well, let's call it that two-dimensional attitude, right? Of simply saying, I'm just taking this in. I'm just viewing this, right? to take, I guess, a more robust attitude towards worship and to say, no, I want all of me engaged in this and all of my life engaged in this.
Yeah, we talked about those two senses that you use when you're watching something, hearing and seeing. And that's how we consume most of our content nowadays. But God gave us all five senses. God gave us all of the ways that we can experience Him. And so in these lovely ways that we can experience God, whether that be in nature, whether that be cooking, whether that be with family, you're using all five senses. So in the same way, you should use all five senses to actively engage yourself in worship. And we are going to sing a song now called Build My Life. And it's a wonderful song, perhaps one of my favorites, of building your life upon Jesus. And I think it really I think it really has a good message of active engagement and understanding how we have to build our lives. So let's do that now, and then we'll close.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Well, thank you so much for worshiping with us, for listening to our words. We're so glad. Hope that you got something out of it, this little unorthodox service. But we're glad that we could do it and we could share God's word in this format. So as we close this service this morning, let's pray. Dear Lord, we reiterate this morning how much we love to worship, how much we love to sing your praises, to play instruments, to dance to you. And we want to remember what worship is for. We want to remember the principles that you gave us to worship. First, we want to be attentively present to you. Mm-hmm. We want to tune out the distractions that cause our minds to wander back and forth. We want to focus wholly on you, God, because you deserve all of our attention. Second, we want to remember and reiterate that you are in control. As much as we try to control the world around us, we have to remember that it is your plan that you have for us, and it is your world that you made for us. So we say once again, we surrender to you, and we humbly kneel towards you, God. And lastly, I want everyone to remember how important it is to actively engage. God, we confess that sometimes we simply listen and watch the service on Sunday morning, and we don't do anything the other 6 days of the week. We want to remember that you tell us to be good and to be lovely and to serve our brothers and to love our neighbors. We want to remember that we are made in your image, and we will act and love and serve in your name. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so go into this new week continuing to worship our great God. Worship him with a sense of boldness in the midst of your lives, but also with a sense of humbleness that God is indeed in control. And so let me bless you. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships so that we may live from deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, exploitation of God's creation so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with just enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. Go in his peace. Amen.